All right, welcome to the second edition of our school podcast. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. School.
We can edit out the first 10 seconds to start again.
Yeah, okay. Hi, welcome to the Jared and Cameron Sports Podcast. Today we're going to be talking a little baseball. Recap a little bit of the division series, not get into it too heavily as the championship series is really coming through. We'll talk Manny Machado, the Dodgers-Brewers series, and of course we'll get into the lead that Boston has, and hopefully by the end we'll touch a little bit on basketball as the season has just started. All right, Jared.
So we're at the point in the season where it's the NLCS and the ALCS. We're midway through about both series. Maybe some surprising signs. Boston is actually leading Houston right now 2-1 after a very, very well-pitched game from Nathan Eovaldi, his second of the postseason. An upcoming free agent really showcasing his stuff at the end of the season. And then on the other side, we have the Brewers and Dodgers tied up at 2-2. I think it's fair to say that this series, even though it doesn't have necessarily the names that the other series does, has been the more intriguing one to watch. What would you say to that?
Oh, man. I think that's so tough just because I'm looking. Yeah, it is. As from an overall fan perspective, this championship series is just super well put together from all sides, meaning pitching, baseball, hitting, fielding. Just overall great baseball we're watching in both sides, the Brewers, Dodgers, getting an extra inning game last night, as well as the Houston Red Sox series is really good so far, high-scoring games, but also some pitching tactics too. Let's talk about David Price. How do you think he looked?
Well, I mean, it's astonishing to say that he won. It's the first time that a team has won that he started a playoff game, which David Price has been a very good pitcher for many years. He's been in the playoffs almost every year. The last time he hasn't been a part of the postseason picture was 2009 when Tampa Bay didn't make it. What I've seen from David Price is a little timidness. In his first game in the playoffs, he got shelled, you know, giving up the long ball, giving up hard outs, you know, loud outs that just, he didn't seem like he had command of that. So now what we see from Price is a perfect pitcher trying to go out there and throw, execute his perfect pitch, not necessarily of being afraid to walk hitters, but willing to get, leave guys on and, you know, walk some batters. I don't think it's fair to say that, oh, you know, Price isn't a good pitcher because he's never lived up in the postseason. This guy is a perennial Cy Young contender when, you know, especially during his days in Tampa Bay and Detroit and Toronto. But I just think he gets tired. I just don't see the same David Price that I saw the second half of the season.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely don't see the workhorse that he was, like the guy throwing 200 innings, 200 strikeout seasons. I just don't see that anymore. He just looks like a three-starter to me. Nothing special. I mean, yeah, every once in a while he's going to have a good start, but even in the regular season, he's still shaky. And it's just, you know, some people can argue that his stats look identical or sometimes even better in some cases than Severino's, but it's just dominance. You like using that word a lot, dominance. He just doesn't have it anymore. Postseason, I'm really surprised they kept him out there for that long. And luckily, he did not, you know, mess around, and luckily nothing really came to fruition through that inning. But definitely, if Houston sees him again, they got to jump on him because he did not look good versus the Yankees, a team that looked lost during that series.
One thing that I think the postseason presents players and even teams is the opportunity to totally block out what happened in the regular season. And almost, you know, if you have a good postseason, it can make up. You know, Gary Sanchez may have been heading that way until, of course, his team was eliminated. But the two biggest guys that I've seen having major playoffs that are making up for their regular season is Jackie Bradley Jr. has single-handedly maybe won the Red Sox these first two games in the ALCS.
Yep, yep.
It's a three-run double that gets a little helped out because of how Fenway Park is constructed, but he has a big hit in game two off of Garrett Cole, a guy who has been dominant this year for the Houston. And then the other guy is Orlando Arcia. And a statistic that I found was that he is the third player ever to hit more than three or more home runs in the postseason, when in the regular season he only hit three or less.
Yeah.
Going into the season for the Brewers, after last year's productive year for Arcia, they plugged him in. He's going to be our shortstop of the future. He's the guy we're going to roll with. He was so bad, they sent him to the minors. They traded for Moustakas, and they traded for Schoof, out of fear that they couldn't rely on this guy down the stretch. This guy has went 4-for-4 in the tiebreaker. He has been the main cog in the Brewers' lineup. You know, Yelich has been scary, and they work around Yelich, and Yelich does his part almost in that regard.
Yeah.
But Arcia has been the one getting the big hits for them and has, you know, really propelled their chances in this NLCS.
Here's the thing. I definitely agree with that. That's where I find the Brewers so scary, is because any of those guys can have one good series. And you're talking about forgetting the rest of the season, blah, blah, blah. They have so many platoon guys where they're playing different guys each day, different subbing in at the fourth inning, fifth inning. They're doing that in the playoffs a lot. But, you know, I just find the Brewers lineup and their bench the best in baseball. Oh, let's go to that home run, because I know you wanted to go about that. What's his name's home run? The pitcher.
Woodruff.
Woodruff, yeah, Woodruff,
you know,
Woodruff.
That guy, he just looked like comfortable. And that's a big thing for pitchers when they're in the box. It's how do they feel when they're in the box actually facing what they throw? Woodruff is a hard thrower. And some of the time, these pitchers, especially relief pitchers, they want no business of being in the box. Like, they'll flail out there every once in a while to maybe prolong that bat, but they don't have any seriousness of actually making good contact. He had a certain
presence.
Certain presence in the box that just looked like, I know what I'm doing here. And I was very, very blown away by that.
You know, something that I found so, good about him is he was fouling off pitches, super hard. And then that's where I was like, okay. It's like when Bumgarner or Kershaw step in the batter's box, you know they can hit. Something, too, that struck me was that, usually a relief pitcher starts hitting, pitchers don't know their track record, and I don't think Kershaw knew. I don't think he knew. He threw a fastball right there, right? Fastball right there, slammed it 408 feet. I mean, that if that's the only game they win, which I hope not, because obviously we both have them winning the World Series, but if that's the only game they win, well, there you go. You credit half to him for pitching well and hitting. All right, let's go into our predictions. We've already got the ALDS wrong. You got your whole AL wrong.
First one, right? The Indians stunk.
Yeah.
Some of the time, I was wrong in it. I thought that they'd say, we didn't have a great regular season, but anything can change in the playoffs. They just seemed like the same team that just has no identity. They were led by, you know, great players in Lindor and Ramirez and Kluber and Bauer and Miller, but it just never at one point clicked for them, and they just couldn't get it turned on. But what we have is 2-1 Boston. They're playing game four today, and 2-2 Brewers Dodgers playing game five. An early game today out in L.A. It's going to be 5 o'clock starter Eastern time, 2 o'clock Western time.
No one's going to go to that game.
Well, what this sets up potentially is shadows.
And in
Dodger Stadium, that is a major issue for the hitter. And recently I listened to Ryan Braun explain what he thought that the Brewers actually had the benefit of this because they play all of their home games in Miller Park, where the light comes
in. Oh, yeah, yeah, as, yeah, yeah, that's
Christian
true.
Christian Yelich also elaborated on how it took him some time to get used to that, and that's why it's sometimes a struggle for opposing players. Now, I don't think that the shadows will make such a big difference because you'd think that they'd come in at about 5 or 6 o'clock, so the game could be over before then. However,
sun's gonna set.
It's weird to have a game start a day night, a day not a,
night, a
day game.
Yeah, after those extra innings.
After 13 long innings.
Yeah, you could maybe say a day night after that 5 o'clock start, like a 5 o'clock start. That's not really a day night. That's more of like
afternoon
game. Who you got tonight? Who we got? Who do you think?
I think that Milwaukee, interestingly enough, is better situated to face lefties because they can get... Well, actually, it goes both ways because you have Kane, Braun, Aguilar, Scope potentially, although Scope is terrible. So you probably have Hernan Perez play. You have Arcia, Domingo Santana. However, I like Kershaw at home today. I like the Dodgers taking a 3-2 series advantage. I didn't think last night was a must-win for the Brewers. However, if Milwaukee had won that game, I really like their chances. Because now the Dodgers get Kershaw in a game 5.
Yep.
A chance to be one win away from winning it all, from going to the World Series. So I like them tonight. For Boston and Houston, I'm very interested, and I think that this game has significant meaning on if the Red Sox can win a World Series. Because I liked what I've seen from Eovaldi.
Yeah.
I think Eovaldi, interestingly enough, may be their best pitcher in the postseason so far. However, they're not winning a World Series riding Eovaldi. They're gonna need Price to be adequate, and they're gonna need to get a good amount out of David. They're gonna need Sale to be healthy and to be able to give him some innings when he pitches, some shutdown innings. But Porcello is the X factor, because if Porcello can pitch well, it really makes them an interesting team with the depth that they have. If they have to rely on Eovaldi and whatever they have from Sale right now, I don't see them. Maybe they somehow beat the Astros, even though I don't predict that. I don't see how they could go anywhere serious just riding Eovaldi and whatever you have from Sale. What do you think happens?
Tonight and the rest of these series, I think, again, I'm going to go with my, I think Astros are somehow come back from this 2-1 deficit, and I do think that the Brewers will go ahead just because they have advantage home field. Their home field is so nice. Their fans are great. You know, Dodgers, I don't see anything electric in their fans. Like, a couple of times... Yeah, there was
the team and from the stadium as a whole, and said that it was a bad day to be like associated with the Dodgers.
Yeah, like they're and Kiki's a guy that's organizationally brought up. He's a Dodger. He's not a Dodger lifer. Let's see how it goes. But so far he knows, and for him saying that, that's surprising. You're right though with Porcello. If Porcello can win tonight and get on a roll, throw 6-7 innings. Man, Red Sox look scary just because their pitching is coming in at the right time. And you go, oh, the bullpen. But the bullpen hasn't looked that bad.
The
only Workman.
Really solid, I think, for the Red Sox. Brazier.
Yeah, Brazier is good.
I feel like Cora has put his trust into.
Workman is not good.
Workman is not going to be used. However, they have a good amount of guys. Even guys like Eduardo Rodriguez, who had great regular seasons. These guys haven't even pitched a lot. They're going to be pretty rested after what Eovaldi gave them last night and, you know, Bradley blowing the game open in the eighth.
Plus the regular rest that you're going to get at the day of rest when the series switches back to...
moves back over to Boston because they have clinched at least going back to Fenway Park at the worst. So we're at a great part in both championship series. It should It'll end at some point this weekend. We'll have a recap of all that as well as a big preview for the World Series. It's going to be an interesting World Series because you have some really great teams, and I don't see how...
Some surprising teams, too.
Surprising teams? I don't see how it can go wrong at all. Now, last night, I know there are only two games, but the NBA season kicked off. Boston beating Philadelphia at home, and Golden State on championship ring night, beating a Russell Westbrook-less Oklahoma team. Now, I read one tweet last night from somebody who said, I never wanted to see an injured player play more than I want to see Russell Westbrook. Because Westbrook had played last night, watching, you know, Kevin Durant and the Warriors get their championship ring, I think Westbrook would have gone for 60.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, true. I think Westbrook would have done, like,
everything
crazy. Like, those like first four games when the season back in when Kevin Durant left 2016-17, when that happened, that was like Westbrook was electric that season overall, but just those games, he was so good. Something that I find so interesting about Westbrook as we're getting into basketball, you'll probably hear me say a lot, is how fans hate Westbrook and love Westbrook at the same time. Westbrook averaged a triple-double for the second time in a row last season. And fans were going, not saying he didn't deserve MVP at all. They think he pads his stats. And I was just thinking, how can you say he pads his stats when you got guys like Carmelo, Paul George on your team that are just, yes, maybe the team will go away from the ball when Westbrook can get a rebound. But that's just the leader of the team trying to take up that ball in that situation. I don't think it's anything padding stats. We'll get into Westbrook later on in the season. Probably he'll have a good year. But that's my overall impression of Westbrook. Going back to last night.
Yeah, so we're going to do somewhat of a preview to the NBA season. It's the NBA is in an interesting spot because you could argue that they're in the best spot out of all sports teams, right? Out of all sports leagues right now.
Top four.
Because hockey just doesn't generate the interest from many, many people.
Well, it's hard to.
In the United States. Football.
Head injuries.
Football has head injuries. And that's something that's more serious than whether or not a team is too good for the league and that they dominate. And baseball has a problem with pace of play. So you could argue that basketball is in a good spot. However, I do think it's fair to say that there's a lack of excitement in terms of who could win it this season. Because when we looked at the baseball postseason picture, I didn't think that the Rockies would win the World Series. However, they could have won a round, and they could have even have won it all if they got caught. In basketball, you can't tell me that the seventh seed is winning the championship.
Yeah. I think that's a great point, and to add on to that, whereas in baseball, I'm not trying to be like Jalen Rose here, trying to compare my favorite sport to other sports, but in baseball, you got a team like the Red Sox, who won 107 games, but then their bullpen looks awful, their first two games were really shaky for them, and you never know, like, a team like Boston could actually play really well. Well, once they win the World Series, everyone's going to say, well, we knew they were. But so many people were predicting they would lost in the Division Series or the Championship Series. So there's no, like, contending that. In basketball, we know that it's going to be Rockets, Warriors, and it will be Celtics, Philadelphia, or... it'll be Celtics Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Now, one thing that is fun, you know, the players in basketball are a lot of fun to watch. Teams are fun to watch. It's a great sport for a regular season. I wanted to get your input on how you think that the Western Conference is going to shake up. Because right now, I mean, it's always been talked about how deep the Western Conference is. I don't think there's ever been a year where the Western Conference is as good as it is. Because you, of course, have Golden State and Houston. LeBron comes over to, you know, rejuvenate Los Angeles and the Lakers. You have teams like Denver.
Timberwolves.
Minnesota, New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, all making pretty big upgrades to their roster.
Even Mavericks look better.
Yeah, teams like, exactly, like Dallas, who have
they'd be a
lineup that could be a fourth or a fifth seed in the East.
East, yeah.
That are struggling to think, can they even compete? I personally think that you're gonna get the same old. I don't see Minnesota making the playoffs.
They won't.
This year
they won't.
Because of some of their locker room issues and whatever happened to
they didn't last year.
Jimmy Butler. Of course, they're not gonna make the playoffs. I don't see them making it. And interestingly enough, I don't see the Spurs. And the Spurs, what you can say is, oh, they got worse this year because DeMar DeRozan was not as good as Kawhi Leonard. Let's just remember that they didn't have Kawhi Leonard last year. Kawhi Leonard did not factor into them making the playoffs at all. They pick up DeMar DeRozan, but where I see them taking a hit is something that the Spurs have always had that they don't have this year is depth. It's the weirdest thing for me this season.
Because Murray's hurt.
That Tony Parker is not in the San Antonio Spurs uniform. I can't even imagine seeing him in teal and purple and Charlotte.
Yeah, that's awful.
You lose DeJounte Murray to a terrible ACL injury right before the season. You lose Bryn Forbes to a torn plantar fasciitis in his foot. I don't see who's going to start a point guard for them. So can you really, realistically, in a Western Conference, rely on DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge? How do you see the Western Conference shaking out?
I agree with you. I see Warriors 1, blah, blah, blah. Maybe there'll be a 2. Houston might win again. But I do not see the Timberwolves. I also don't think the Timberwolves have the talent, but I just don't think they're anything special. Last year they didn't make it either. The Nuggets I don't think will get in. Clippers won't get in. It's really tough. Like the Western Conference, every single team besides Sacramento and the Grizzlies are like, every single team besides the Kings and the Grizzlies are good.
Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies can have a shocking season. You get Mike Conley.
Well, I don't think Mike Conley is going
to
be.
For me, the Grizzlies, if you were to compare them to another team.
Well, you think they're going to be a playoff team?
I think they're going to be a 9th seed or an 8th seed. I think they're going to compete. I compare the Grizzlies to the A's. On any given season, they could really shock you, win a playoff series, maybe not win it all because there's a certain cap that they can get to, and especially in basketball, there's a certain level that teams can get to without a true superstar. On any given year, I feel like the Grizzlies can be good. You get Mike Conley for a whole year. You have him and Dylan Brooks in the backcourt. You pick up guys like Jaren Jackson out of the draft, guys who are NBA ready. Him and Marc Gasol holding down the front court. Man, I see them creating some buzz out there in Nashville.
Yeah, but look, I think let's go to the East now. Let's go to the East. Some teams might come up this year and be. I feel like the East is so bad that a bad team could get in. You know what I mean? A bad team could have a 500 year and get in.
No.
Like the Cavs might be able to get in.
Even after losing LeBron.
They might be able to get in with that awful team.
Now, in the East, I think that we can separate a few tiers of teams into who is really contending for a potential berth in the NBA Finals. Teams who are good teams who are probably locks to make the playoffs. Then you have some teams who are hovering around the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 spot. And then the teams who are on the bottom of the barrel. I think we can all agree that Boston, Toronto, and Philadelphia, presuming Kawhi Leonard stays healthy, presuming that
Simmons and Embiid
continue to improve, that those three teams can potentially win an Eastern Conference.
No, who's your sleeper pick? Pacers.
Indiana. I like Indiana this year. I think Oladipo, another year with those guys. I see Miles Turner.
Oh, Bucks, too.
Having a bounce back year. I like Milwaukee. I think my sleeper team may not be I don't think that they're going to be good or improve, but could they cause some havoc potentially in the playoffs and in the regular season? I see Washington having an interesting year.
Dwight Howard.
Ball is healthy all year. Dwight Howard over Gordon Todd. Improvement from Otto Porter. Otto Porter was potentially a bust to a serviceable starter. I'm waiting to see if he gets maybe to that next level of somebody who can be a potential all-star.
When I look at the East, I see 8-9 good teams at most. If we're counting the Knicks, the Heat will get in. They'll be a 5-6 seed. Pistons will get in. With Drummond and Griffin for a whole season. Reggie Jackson for a whole season, too. Let's see. He had a good year 2 years ago. Last year, he did not have too good of a year. He really stepped up when Drummond wasn't having a good year. Let's see if Reggie Jackson can show us Knicks. You want to go into Knicks right now?
I think it all depends on how they want to use Porzingis. There's two sides that you can look at. Do we play Porzingis when potentially he can come back on a minutes restriction? You know, maybe it'd be better to give him some more rest, but he could come back. Or you rest him. And if you rest him, I don't see them doing anything serious because I think that they have too many young players, a new coach, a new system, trying to figure out what their identity is. I think it'll be an interesting year for the Knicks, even though they don't make the playoffs, because this is the first time in a while where you're actually building around pieces. Porzingis, Knox, and Frank Ntilikina are all...
First time in 7 years.
...are all pieces that could actually be used in the future. It's not like you're just trying to compile veterans to maybe scratch out a playoff berth and win a series. If that, they haven't even been able to do that recently.
Nansen's a Murray, Stoudemire.
I see the East, of course, we just said Boston, Toronto, and Philly. My next tier would probably be Indiana, Milwaukee, Washington. Then I have Detroit, Miami, and maybe the Knicks.
So you have Miami 8th seed.
Not that Miami's the 8th seed. I see Miami
tiers,
for
tiers.
The 7th seed, the 6th seed.
6th seed.
8th seed. Why?
Guys, the squad's back together.
Get the fuck
what?
Out of here.
What?
Get stop. The fuck out of here. What do you want?
Bro, stop this.
All right, so one more thing to the NBA season that's always interesting is potentially an MVP race. And so you have LeBron in LA. He's going to get the intrigue of the voters. Every eye is going to be on how they play this season. You will not see a game for them being played that's not on SportsCenter, national TV. They'll be all over the place. I think that could boost his MVP chances. However, my MVP this year is the guy who has the most confidence in himself from recently a few days, Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and he is going
to... The MVP voters like to do a new guy every year, it seems like, with Westbrook, Harden. Davis is the sole tank in New Orleans. I see they like both sides of the court. You can't tell me a thing Anthony Davis cannot do on the basketball court. Everybody knew from the day that he was drafted that this guy was going to be
special.
I have him as my MVP choice. What about you?
All right, so I was going to go either him or Giannis, just because everyone's like, Giannis, blah, blah, blah. Know who's sleeper? Joel Embiid. But we'll get into that maybe later if he can improve his three. But definitely Anthony Davis is the guy for New Orleans. He is, you know, everyone's like projecting that he will be the greatest. Max Kellerman thinks that he's going to be the greatest player in the world after LeBron because he thinks Kevin Durant is not going to be as polished, and he's going to be getting older too when LeBron steps down from the throne probably in a year or two. Maybe even this year we might see that, but definitely I see Anthony Davis as a top 5 MVP candidate.
Now, the last thing we're going to do today before we end the podcast is I'm going to put you right on the spot. Tell me one thing that happens this basketball season that nobody sees coming.
Nuggets or Jazz get higher than a 5 seed in the West.
Get home court in the first round.
Yes.
My one thing that stands out this season is Philadelphia does not have home court in the first round.
Wow.
I think that they've You can say trust the process, but you've made the wrong moves. Tatum is a beast, and you gave up a first-round pick.
Markel Fultz.
You traded him and a first-round pick. A high first-round pick for Markel Fultz. Not that Fultz is a bad player, but Tatum is the real deal.
Tatum is...
And I think that they should have been a little bit more aggressive this offseason. I think you had the ability to make a bigger splash. Kawhi Leonard, maybe a LeBron James. I didn't really love what I saw from this offseason. I don't think that they can shoot the ball, which is really going to hurt the team dynamic. Because with Simmons, you can just back off him because you know he's not shooting the three. Same with Fultz. Covington, nice 3-and-D player, but a lot's going to reside on how healthy they are this season. That's our weekly podcast. We got into a little baseball, finally got into some basketball. Next week, we're going to try and recap the NLCS and ALCS. Really intrigued to how that finishes up. And get into our World Series preview. Get into some basketball as the season finally kicks off for everybody else. Any last words?
Next week, let's talk about Joe Buck. Cause,
a little announcing.
Yeah, a little announcing.
Baseball announcing makes the games a lot better. Makes it more interesting to watch. Thank you, and we'll try and see you next week.